Before I begin tonight, there's two things that I want to do. First of all, apologize to Ori, because I wasn't It was difficult for me to lead singing, not because of the songs, but earlier in the day, I texted my brothers, Ron, Laura, and Jennifer, and said, and it's nothing bad, I just said, 26 years ago, Mom gave me kidney. So this is our first anniversary where I cannot tell Mom thank you again, or send flowers, or a card, or anything else. But I will, of course, always remember the gift that she gave me. I just wanted you all to know that. And so I wasn't emotional when I sent that, and I just went on with the rest of my day. And then my sister Laura said something, and then Jennifer, my youngest sister, said something 3 minutes before her services. You know, I could tell I got a notification on a text, and I was curious as to who it was, so I looked. And what she said just really touched me, because I can see my mom doing this. So sorry. I guess I just need to tell you this. She said, "Dawn, I can imagine today was hard not being able to thank her. It really wasn't until I read her text. At doctor appointments, when I thought it was relevant, I would mention that she only had one kidney, and they would ask the reason. I would say she donated it, and she would proudly, lovingly say, 'To my son.' And he is doing well still, 23, 24, 25, et cetera, years later, with a big smile." So when I read that, I was like, thanks a lot, Jennifer. Now I got to get up and worship and preach and everything, and oh my goodness, this is kind of embarrassing for me. And then the reason why the scripture was wrong is because I didn't finish my sermon for this evening on Friday, so I just thought I'll finish at home. But I had to do some stuff with my computer at home recently, and they had to redo it for free, thankfully, because it would have been expensive. Because it's brand new and it was under warranty. And the two computers are supposed to sync. When I do something on my computer here, it's instantly on my computer over there. But it didn't work. So yesterday, I found that out. You know, I'm working on my sermon. I'm thinking, I thought I already had a bunch of information on here. Something's not right. So I came here this afternoon, and even the sermon that was here doesn't have all the information on it. So I don't know what happened. And I just, so I had the one when I was working on there and one I was working on here. And I just thought, I don't have time to try and merge them together. So I had a little time left. And I said, I'll just preach an old sermon. So that's what I'm doing today. That's why that scripture was wrong. Sorry about that, Brian. And those of you that had got the handouts that I put out, it was supposed to be on how I know the human body did not evolve. So tonight, I'm going to speak about something else, something I spoke about in 2008. So I hope you don't mind if you get a rerun. So let's get into this. When you think of something wonderful in nature, what comes into mind? Magnificent mountains, beautiful beaches, fine flowers, awesome animals, spectacular sagebrush. Anybody? Well, I hate to say it, but I do. I love Eastern Oregon. I love traveling all over the West because, and that's what you see almost more than anything else besides rocks. And so I gave this sermon back then, and I just thought, okay, as I was looking through my sermons, which one do I do? And this was the first one I looked at, and I said, I'm just going to do that one. And I think we all recognize the fact that God created sagebrush. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so.' And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And of course, that would include the sagebrush. It has to include the sagebrush because there's so much of it. It's not like it's an accident or something. God had reasons for creating the sagebrush. And I think there's some things he wants us to learn from it, even as he does with the rest of creation. Okay, Proverbs chapter 6. King Solomon said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Sorry, I mean to have all the scriptures up on the screen. I'm not used to always doing that, so but I may forget once in a while. So likewise, go to the sagebrush, fool. Consider its endurance and be wise. Therefore, tonight, I would like to give you some sage advice from the sagebrush. Sagebrush covers 470,000 square miles in 11 states, and Wyoming has the most. 50% of that state is covered with it. And when I read that, I thought, well, Oregon must be smaller than Wyoming or something, because I think two-thirds of Oregon is covered with sagebrush, or maybe it's not. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But what other bush, and sometimes tree, covers more than that in the United States of America? It almost seems like that's the most prominent shrub that we have here. It typically grows in the 4,000 to 7,000 foot elevation range in arid conditions where the soil is good. And with so much of it around, God must like sagebrush. I mean, when he created the earth, you know, Genesis chapter 1 says that he saw everything and it was good. He looks at the sagebrush and he says, "I like that." So I think, the way I think is, we do well when we like what God likes. And if I don't like what God likes, I'll do well if I try to learn what God likes. And so then I can learn to think like him and just be what he wants me to be. There are several different shrubs that we call sagebrush, but the one we know the best out here in the West is, it goes under several names. Tall sagebrush, which can be common sagebrush, big sagebrush, blue, black sagebrush, or mountain sagebrush. Now, this plant is extremely versatile. Its versatility, tolerance, and flexibility just goes beyond most other shrubs and trees. It can endure blistering heat, freezing cold, endless drought, and overwhelming floods. And if there's not enough water and the soil is poor, then it won't grow very big. It'll stay small. But if there's plenty of water and the soil is good, it can grow as high as 12 feet. That's twice as tall as me. It's a tree then, in my opinion. I don't know if they classify it that way technically, but it's almost like a tree. And as adaptable as the sagebrush is, God made us far more adaptable. Look where we can live and look at where we can travel. We can live in hotter places, colder places, drier places, and wetter places. We can travel anywhere on the land, under the sea, on the sea of course, in the sky, and of course beyond. We can do anything, really, when you come down to it. And as I showed, I think it was my class, one of my classes recently, in Genesis chapter 11, God even said that about us. He said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." If our Creator says, whatever we propose to do, we can do it, then whatever we propose to do, we can do it. And look at what we've done. Isn't it wonderful the time that we're living in as far as technology and medicine? Well, I just talked about me receiving a kidney from my mother. I mean, they cut her open, took her kidney out, and stuck it. In case you wonder where they put it, me, it's right here in front. We first did that in the 1950s at the same hospital where I got mine done. It's just amazing the stuff that we can do. Look at our lifetimes especially. The advancements in science, technology, medicine, travel, just almost anything is amazing. It makes me wonder where it will stop. Well, God kind of indicates that it may not stop until he ends everything. And yet, sometimes when it comes to doing spiritual things or obeying God's commands, we persuade ourselves that it can't be done. And, well, sometimes we sound like the 10 spies. And we forget just how awesome our God is and what magnificent things he has done for us in the past. In the church's past and in Israel's past. And we should remind ourselves of those things constantly. That's one of the many reasons why I encourage you to read through the entire Bible every year. Because you'll be getting some awesome messages. Look at the adaptability of the sagebrush, and then listen to us think, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that. When I went to Peru and saw the stonework that they do and how they built walls with massive stones and fit them all together, you can't even take a dollar bill out of your pocket and put it between the stones. The paleontologist who was with us, I can remember him walking around one time looking at one of the things at Machu Picchu, and he said, evidently these people did not have the concept of, oh, that's too much bother, I won't do that. Because that's exactly how I would be. If someone said, Don, I want you to duplicate Machu Picchu here, and we'll give you everything you need, I'd say, that's too much bother, I don't want to do that, I got other stuff to do. And yet it can be done, okay? It truly is marvelous. I would encourage you for one day to listen to yourself. Every conversation that you have, including your self conversation, listen carefully to everything that you say. You may have to remind yourself, oh yeah, later you'll think, oh yeah, okay, I was supposed to be thinking about everything that I say and think today. What have I thought and said so far today? You might be surprised by what went through your mind and then came out your lips. Because I've done that before, and I was kind of shocked. And I've tried to make adjustments, and sometimes I still fall back on that. But I think we can do better than the sagebrush. I have no doubt about that. It doesn't disobey God. It does not complain. But it just grows to the best of its ability. Numbers 13 presents the words of Caleb, one of the two faithful spies, who believed that since they were God's people, they could do anything that needed to be done as long as God was with them. There was no question. So he said to the people, let us go up once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Man, those are some of my favorite words in the Bible, because I need to hear that sometimes, because sometimes I think things can't be overcome. But if God's with me, and I'm doing what he wants me to do, it can be overcome. In God's mind, it's already happened. I just need to go do it now. The sagebrush gives glory to its provider. One thing that I like about sagebrush country, at least in some places, is that you can see the earth. If there are interesting rock formations, unusual valleys, brilliantly colored land, or something else, the sagebrush doesn't hide it. Have you ever been to the Painted Hills here in Oregon? I used to think it was a huge area. It wasn't nearly as big as I was thinking it would be. But if there were big trees, conifers of one kind or another, growing all around there, you would be able to see these spectacular. Surely, has anybody been there? Am I the only one? Two, three of us or so. You need to go to the Painted Hills in northern Oregon sometime. Man, it's spectacular. But again, if there were these trees all over the place, and I love trees, don't get the wrong idea, you wouldn't be able to see it. Or Leslie Gulch. I know Carrie's been there. Have anybody else been to Leslie Gulch? You have been there. We need to talk about that. Okay, it's almost into Idaho, in the Owyhee Canyon. Man, what a spectacular place. You drive down this dirt road for 7 miles, and you see awesome rock formations. I've shown photos of it to you before, because I believe it shows evidence of Noah's flood. But again, let's say the redwoods were growing there. These spectacular formations you wouldn't be able to see. They'd be gone. As far as you're concerned, you may just drive through and not even know about it. When you're in a deep forest, a beautiful forest, which is certainly wonderful, I like to do that, it hides the earth. Have you been to Arches National Park? Okay, just a few of us. I'm glad that you're here worshiping, but if you ever get out, and then you're heading towards Utah, go to Arches National Park. Wow. You've seen pictures of it where these just big arches of rocks, and they're huge, some of them, and they're just spectacular looking. But again, let's put some sequoias in there or massive cedar trees. You could probably see them, but not nearly as well as you can now. So I think sagebrush country allows the glories of the earth to stand out. And isn't that how it should be for us? It's not about us. Our lives should be showing Christ. Our lives should not be lived in such a way that we're hiding Christ. People should see something different about us. It's not that we wear a sign, but people do read us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said that we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And because he lived that way, that man almost single-handedly converted the Roman Empire. In the previous chapter, same book, he said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of recommendation, commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So we should be living in such a way that people could tell we're not of the world. Again, they may not know what it is. I have often said before that the members of the church in Longmont, Colorado, when I started worshiping there, I knew there was something different about those people. I'd never been around people like that before. And I didn't know what it was. Later, I'm converted, and then I begin to grow as a Christian. I'm studying the Bible. I go to preaching school. I preach in Long Beach, and then, I'm in Klamath Falls. And that, it suddenly occurred to me one time, what was different about the people in the Longmont Church of Christ? It was their holiness. They couldn't hide it. They were holy people. Jesus was living through those people. And initially, I didn't know it. I didn't know what it was. But because of the kind of lives they lived, I eventually gave my heart, my life, and everything to the Lord. And now I seek to live for him. Matthew 5 records some similar words of Jesus when he said this in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We've had co-workers of members of this congregation, and I remember it happened in Klamath Falls too. I don't remember Long Beach, that's too far away. Too far in time, But we've had people go there and were eventually converted. We have people come here who were eventually converted, who worked with members of the church and have said, I don't know what she's got, but I want it. And so they'd start to get to know the member of the church and discovered what it was and said, can I come worship with you? How would you like somebody at work to say, can I come with you to church next Sunday? Wow. Another amazing thing about sagebrush is how it's pollinated. The unappealing sagebrush, unappealing to a lot of people, not to me, okay, but does not attract birds or insects for pollination. So maybe they don't think it's good looking either. But it's like what I said to you about corn recently. It's pollinated by the wind. So without wind, the sagebrush remains fruitless. And in John chapter 3, Jesus used the wind to illustrate the Holy Spirit in our lives. You cannot see the wind pollinating the sagebrush, but you can see the effects. And the point that he makes in John 3 is you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see his effects. John 3:8, Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Galatians 5 is the same way. Paul argued in Galatians 5 that if we follow the lead of the Spirit, it will be obvious by the things that we produce in our lives. In verse 18, he said, but if you are led, by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So the Spirit in our lives is like wind operating on the sagebrush. We follow his leadership and we produce his fruit. Paul didn't say our fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that comes up in our lives. A mature sagebrush may produce 1 million seeds. Yet the seeds are so small that it takes 2.5 million seeds to make 1 pound. So although small, somehow they've managed to cover 11 western states. Likewise, we do small things that maybe we never notice, but someone else has. And it may have led to that person's conversion. Who knows what you did for somebody? Or maybe even in your own life, you planted little seeds. And it didn't help you until much longer. You may not even realize that something that came up in your life later that helped you to be the person that you are today was actually a seed that you or someone else planted in you a long time ago. And finally, after laying dormant for so many years, just like with the sagebrush, where the seed can lay dormant for a very long time, then when the right conditions come along, it grows. So the same thing with us. You may have planted a little seed of kindness in someone's life. Someone noticed that at the moment, and you didn't think a thing about it. Or maybe you did for a moment. Maybe it felt good to hold the door going into the store for a mother with 3 kids, and she's got a shopping cart, and she's really got her hands full, and you maybe even quickly got ahead of her and opened the door, and then she went through, and you went on your own business, you know, and you just thought, what a nice mother and cute little kids, and then you forgot about it. An hour later, you don't even remember you did it, but she noticed, and I'll tell you else who noticed, the God of heaven. And here's how I know that. In Matthew 10, verse 42, Jesus said, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water, in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Okay, I got to go to the pharmacy all the time, as you probably know. And so I'm waiting in line, and sometimes I just cannot believe how customers treat people behind the counter. And so I come up trying to be understanding, and I just try to show a little kindness to the person, to be patient and whatever, and maybe even we'll say something, and it just changes their whole attitude. And I'm not saying that to point anything to myself, but I'm just saying, who knows how much you can benefit somebody? And even if you forget it later, and even if that person forgets it later, Jesus promised that he would not forget it. In fact, in Hebrews 6:10, the Hebrew writer even said, it would be unrighteous on God's part to forget it. Man, I love reading that. Is God unrighteous? Absolutely not. So if you did something for someone, you were a blessing to someone, God's, I don't know if he's going to bring it up at the judgment or what he's going to do, but since he's righteous, he has remembered it. He's remembered it right now, although you did it 10 years ago and you've completely forgotten about it. And he's either already blessed you or he'll bless you then or both. Again, Jesus speaking, you know, in Matthew 25, he's talking about what will happen at the judgment. And you'll remember that he told the righteous, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you, by the Father. Because, he says, when I was hungry, you fed me, and so on. I think most of you are familiar with that passage. And they say, like, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you in sick or in prison and come to you? And you remember his answer was, whenever you did it to one of these least of my brethren, when you help a fellow Christian, someone that you may think is insignificant, someone you hardly noticed, but you bless that person, Jesus noticed. And he says, you know what? You're the kind of person I want to live with me in eternity. And I think that's what exactly all of us want. So, again, maybe you greeted someone. Maybe you let another person go first. Maybe you were patient with a new checker, a new teller, a new waitress, or who knows what. And you forgot about it 60 seconds later. But again, our Lord did not. However, even as every sagebrush seed does not produce a plant, I'm not trying to indicate that every time you do some little deed, it's going to lead to someone's conversion. Because that's not necessarily the case. And in fact, that may be often the case, at least right away. You may not even be planting the seed. You may be just preparing the soil. You know, before you can plant a seed, you have to prepare the soil. I mean, if you have a garden, you know that. You just don't go out to your yard and there's grass growing there and you throw tomato seeds on it and carrots over here and then, no, you dig it up and you do stuff to it. And sometimes that needs to be done to people's hearts, to their lives. And who knows, the Lord may transfer that person to someone else who will deal with them later. I don't know. But we just need to remember that not everything is going to produce good, but it is producing good for us with God in heaven. Remember that we are often like the tree that Brian read for us about in Psalm 92. The palm tree does not produce fruit until later in life. In fact, my understanding is, I heard it one time, and I'd like to check it out some more, that actually the palm tree produces better when its trunk has been cut up some. It's kind of like it needs that rough handling, and then later it produces fruit. Okay, so listen again to Psalm 92. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And I think the sagebrush is like the palm tree, flourishing when you don't expect it to flourish, in conditions where it's just shouldn't be, nothing should be growing there. You are like the sagebrush, flourishing when others, and perhaps even you yourself, didn't expect to. Don't give up living and growing until, like the sagebrush, you give up your body to the earth. So do you want some sage advice? Kind of, I'm using Proverbs 6:6 that I gave you earlier to say the same thing again. Go to the sagebrush, you fool, and consider its endurance and be wise. Even as a sagebrush stays connected to its provider, the earth, we have to make sure, of course, that we stay connected to our God through Jesus Christ by believing everything Jesus says and by doing everything that Jesus says. And he'll take care of things from there. Okay? So if you need help to be more like the sagebrush, or just more like anything that you can think of you should be according to the scriptures, brother or sister, we would love to pray for you on your behalf. If you need our prayers, come forward now as we stand and sing.